What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Good morning, millennials.
Welcome back to The Toast and happy Thursday. I am in such a glorious mood.
Wow, to what do we owe the pleasure?
Well, so many things. One, my move is done. So that stress is off my plate. Two, I'm a naturally happy person. So when I don't have something like so harrowing and stressful, I'm my gorgeous, glorious, delightful self.
But you said you wouldn't be able to be happy until this evening. What sped up your timetable?
Well, the home organizers with a good constitution, done and done. They are at my place doing all the unpacking and organizing. So like, what's better than things like being taken care of?
I agree.
And I'm with my girl Jax and I'm just feeling good.
I'm so happy for this change of tune, really.
I also hate like when I come on an episode and I'm not able to like get past my own whatever shit. Like sometimes that happens where you're just in a mood and it feels like I can't properly like do my job. And every single day, like I have a million things to do, but the one thing I always have to do is, you know, be myself on the toast. And so when my personal angst starts to affect that, I get mad at myself.
And it starts to Claudia.
Claudia.
You were a Claudia yesterday.
But I came out of it, and when I was done, I felt so much better.
First, you were a storm Claudia.
All right, don't put me in another bad mood. I'm doing my best.
What's a nice cloud? You know, a nice, puffy, white cloud.
A summer's day.
You're a summer's day.
You're a summer's day.
Thanks.
So I vlogged the whole experience.
Right.
It is already on Patreon. I was like, let me get the girlies what they need. And the vlog takes a kind of a crazy turn at one point. And I wanted to talk about this on the toast because the more I talk about it, the more I get people's experience and feedback and the better I feel. So during the vlog, Theo was staying with Ben's parents because moving is just like stressful and there was like nowhere for Theo to hang out. And Theo's been like acting a little weird. He appears to have like a leg that's hurting him. And we thought it would go away and then it didn't. So Ben's mom was so generous and was like, while I have him, I'll take him to the vet for you. Like, oh my God, queen. Cause you know, my ass was like never taking him. And every time Theo goes to the vet, he gets like a checkup of course, but because he's a King Charles Cavalier and they're as a breed predisposed to heart problems, they always do like an extra, you know, checkup on his heart. And every time we go, they say no heart murmur. And we're like, great, great, great. This time, of course, busy season. We weren't even thinking about the heart. He, at the age of 6, has developed a heart murmur. And this is something, I mean, I'm literally going to cry, but I'm really going to try not to. This is something, you know, we grew up with a Cavalier. We know that this is a part of their life, and that's why we're so crazy about keeping them fit and healthy. So it's always been top of mind. I knew this was something we were going to have to deal with at some point. In, you know, my delusional dream, I thought it would be 30 years down the road. It's a grade 2 out of 5, which is moderate. And what that means is that either it stays a 2, he goes on meds, lives with it, not a big deal, or it's the beginning of like heart problems. So I found out while I was in the midst of vlogging and moving, and I didn't know if I should like include it in the vlog, and I like recorded something and I felt so stupid, like being so upset and recording something, but I don't know. I was like alone and I didn't have anyone to talk to. And I was like in the whole day, every 10 minutes, updating the vlog about what was going on. And like, this was what was going on. So I wasn't sure if I was going to include it. And I ended up including it. And I'm so glad that I did because so many people reached out to me who have Cavaliers, but who also just have dogs and was like, oh my God, we found out our dog had a heart murmur, like same experience, wanted to die. And he's lived with it completely fine. They told me stories of their dogs who lived to be 14. And then I spoke to my friend Shannon yesterday, not Ford, but my friend Shannon from LA, who is like a dog professional. Like, she has probably 100 dogs. She's like a foster. And she's like, oh, please. I had a dog who showed up at my house 12 years old. They told me he was going to live for another day. And he lived 4 more years. Like, a heart murmur you can live with. So I feel actually really glad that I shared it, because so many people shared their positive experiences. But that was kind of a turning point in the vlog.
Yeah, I would say so. And I think that's also contributed to your mood yesterday. I know you weren't talking about it on the show yesterday, but you were, you know, rightfully torn up about it. But I know our boy is fierce. Our boy is strong. This dry sand. I'm looking at my Theo pillow over there. Oh, wishing I had it here. Bruno. Wishing I had it here to give him a hug, you know?
Yeah, I think that, you know, they go on meds, and then twice a year you take him to a cardiologist, and it should be okay, unless he has some crazy, and this is just like the beginning. He goes a grade 2, 3, 4, 5. Like, hopefully that's not the case. I was prepared for news like this in my lifetime. Like, I knew that this was coming. I just wasn't prepared for it to happen on like this crazy busy day where I'm moving and he was going to the vet for something else.
Yeah.
Well, but that's bad news waits for nobody.
We're with you. And whatever you need, whatever Theo needs, he obviously gets his health insurance through the Toast. So
yeah,
we will provide whatever he needs.
Thank you for being, like, my employer has been really amazing throughout this whole situation.
That's really, like, all you can hope for.
No, it's true. And, like, let's talk about employers that are not, like, gracious and flexible when something, like, actually happens to a person. Not enough people talk about that. Like, when you work in a corporate job, they have, like, weird rules. Like, family member death. Oh, was it immediate family? Oh, if not, you get X. Like, it's so weird. Like, people are people.
Do they have that? I've never thought about it.
Yes, because someone I know just lost someone in their immediate family. I'm like, well, what are you doing about work? And she was telling me that they have, like, you know, well, if it's immediate family, you get X. If it's a grandma, like, you get X. But, like, some people's grandparents are their mothers,
right,
you know?
Right.
So I just think that's, like, a weird thing not enough people talk about. Like, grief when it comes to, like, of course, we're always talking about parental and maternal leave, which is so important, so important. We should still keep having those conversations. But, like, what about grief?
Grief leave.
Grief leave.
It doesn't sound right.
It doesn't. Well, you need to come up with another word for it. I guess it's like personal time.
No, I think like maybe grievance leave. It's just like grief leaf is weird.
I got it. A leave of grievance.
A leave of grievance. Yeah.
Like a leave of absence.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that sounds really nice.
Yeah.
But grief is personal. So it's just been a
crazy few days.
Grief is personal, you know?
That's true. Some people like want to go back to work almost immediately and then 6 months time, like have a breakdown because they didn't properly grieve. So maybe they need that leave of grievance in 6 months.
Yeah. But I understand, like, the corporation's trying to put together some sort of framework, you know, like.
But they could do better.
Yeah. Yeah. You just got to leave things. They could do better flexible. In everything. Everyone yeah. could do better, I think.
What could I do?
Aside from us.
Of course. What could I do better, Jax? Curbing my moods?
No, because I think that's just the ebb and flow of life. You're still human. I still want you to be human.
No. No,
because I like it.
You look absolutely gorgeous and radiant today. Did you do something different with your Foch?
What are you referring to? No, I didn't.
Your skin is glowy. You look like almost maybe like you stepped into the sun for 30 seconds.
No, still homebound. If anything, last week I was in the sun more because I was walking more. This week I'm not walking so much because I twisted my ankle.
Can we tell everyone? Oh my God, this is the funniest story. Jackie twisted her ankle, which like, I feel like adults don't do.
And like, especially, I don't think, I feel like sober people don't do. Like the feeling that I have in my ankle right now, like I'm having flashbacks to college. I feel like I took a couple nasty spills like in high Jeffrey Campbell heels and like my ankle was twisted for months. It felt this way.
So tell everyone the story about this weekend when you twisted your ankle.
So this weekend I twisted my ankle being a moron and it's just like completely my fault. And like, it's something that I look back, I'm like, oh my God, like I feel red in the face of how stupid I was.
Jackie, it sounds like you need to unburden yourself.
Yeah, but I feel like I did in my personal life, but I guess on the show. So we were having a family outing and we were parked somewhere and like there was a really long way around to get onto the sidewalk. I also didn't feel like that route was the safest because it was like there was cars and everything, but we could just like cross over the grass to get to the sidewalk much quicker. And other people...
A cut through.
And other people were cutting through the grass because I thought, oh, maybe it's like swampy. No.
Or ticks.
But other people were cutting through. So I was like, let's just cut through. And it was much like deeper than I anticipated. And I twisted my ankle. And it was so painful. I couldn't even go on. I had to walk back to the car, and I sat in the car with Charlie the whole time and Zach.
While the family outing.
Yeah, well, Zach and Harry went on the outing. We like waited in the car for an hour until they were done. Like I literally couldn't move.
I'm so sorry about your ankle. Nothing takes a girl out like a sprained ankle.
So I had an ACE bandage, which really helped. I've been wearing that the last few days and my ankle was feeling better, but I slept on it badly last night. And now this morning it's hurting again.
I don't actually understand the science behind an ACE bandage. Like, how does wrapping it up help?
Like compressing it so it can't, you know, fester and sort of fall apart.
I guess.
Like kind of like putting it back together, pushing it inward.
Mm. Yeah, because you got to wrap it real tight.
Real tight. Like the swollenness, you got to push it in. It really, okay. Honestly, the ACE bandage really did help. And I blame Streisand for today's pain. He took up the whole bed last night. Mm. So my ankle was just like, it went wherever it could.
Yeah, I understand.
But I still love you, Streisand.
I love you, Streisand.
No hard feelings.
Yes, I do. By the way, we have an amazing show today. Yesterday, we did not do Dear Toasters, and we're still not doing it today because when we thought, all right, we have to do Dear Toasters, should we do Thursday or Friday? Friday's episodes always feel like a little like lacking substance because nothing ever happens on a Friday. So now we have Friday Dear Toasters, which is fabulous.
Yeah, and I guess we could do a little TV recap today because Real Housewives of Beverly Hills was on. I didn't finish it because Charlie needed a quiet, calm environment. And like, I had to turn the TV off. I didn't even want to, but I had to.
He needed a quiet woman.
Yeah. And he needed Eagle Woman and you weren't there.
Yeah. So we'll do Real Housewives of Beverly Hills recap. I watched it and I also watched Watch What Happens Live, which I have. I mean, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills was so boring. I don't know what we could possibly recap. But Watch What Happens Live was full of interessante facts.
Okay, cool. So we'll recap that. We've got the Fast Five stories. And I think without further ado, we should get into it because I know Turdy's got a busy day. I've got a busy day. I'm doing another podcast after this.
Whose?
It's called, what's wrong with me? I literally know what it's called.
It's called What's Wrong With Me. That's actually a good name for a podcast.
That is a good name for a podcast. No, I
honestly, maybe Jackie, don't say it now because it's
I know
rude.
I know what it is. No, because why? Because now it's like rude. I didn't know.
Yeah, don't say it.
But I know what it is. And I'm actually really excited. I don't do podcasts, other podcasts that often. I'm very like choosy because, you know, it's a lot to have an hour long conversation with someone.
It can be so awkward.
But these girls seem great. I'm excited to chat.
I am also doing some content after this. Who remembers last year when I met Mark Schoenwetter, the love of my life, Mark. who was a Holocaust survivor? We did like a Hanukkah video series. That's how we met. We were paired up. And because we connected so fiercely last year, we're doing it again this year. I actually spoke to him last week. We did a Zoom call. And this year's is actually really funny because Mark has been cooking all week his like favorite Jewish Eastern European dishes. And I'm going to have to try them.
Do you know what he's making?
I do know what he's making. I don't want to spoil it. I also don't remember like the entire menu list. They asked me like to approve certain things. Like there are certain things I will just won't eat, like a kreplach. Like I'm not eating
it. I actually think you'll like some of it because like probably some of it's stuff that we grew up with. Like is he going to make a cabbage soup?
No, he's not going to make a cabbage soup. He's making a few like of his cornerstone items. I'm not going to spoil it. But that video will be up soon. Any day I get to spend with Mark, a dream.
I told Turdy this, but for Shabbat this week, I'm making something I've never made before that I'm so excited. I don't know why I'm like craving it.
No, listen, go off queen. Just because I think it's gross.
I don't even know if I've ever had it.
Me neither, by the way.
In my life, but I saw a cooking reel of it. And what I'm making is beef stew.
Now, is it chullent?
Similar.
Chullent is beef stew.
Chili, beef stew are all very similar. So it's like
I don't know.
It's like beef cooked in like a tomato soup sort of thing.
Oh, tomato.
And I do wine. Believe
So chullent is like a classic Jewish dish. It's really like a beef stew.
But it's really chunky. This is like meat chunks and broth and potatoes
chullent
and carrots.
Chullent has like that's literally chullent.
It's not chullent.
No, potatoes, carrots, beef in like a stew. That's chullent.
It's a stew. A beef stew.
Also known as chullent, the stew of our people. Well, they were making chullent in
Shtetl.
Shtetl. Thank you. I couldn't think of the word.
Well, I'm going to make a beef stew because I saw it on a reel. So first I wanted to copy the real recipe, but the creator doesn't have like a recipe website. So I'd have to like keep reading the caption, which.
No.
So I Googled beef stew recipe, but I also wanted to put it to the people. Anyone know of a great beef stew recipe?
Do you want me to check my J. Cohen cookbook?
You can check it. I trust him now.
Yeah, me too. That I'm actually the first like real meal me and Ben are going to make. Maybe not this Friday because like we're still a little chaotic. Maybe next Friday for Shabbat. I want to make the brisket.
I really also want to make the brisket again. And also why I want to make beef stew. It's like something hearty and warm like that will be really good for my milk supply.
Oh, they were onto something in that shtetl.
They were onto something because a few weeks ago, my friend Sam had a baby right around when I did. And we were like comparing, you know, pumping amounts. And she was like, oh, my God, I got so much this morning. I had beef stew last night. I was like, yeah, like they say like warm food is really good, like liquidy food. So
you got to make the brisket, too.
I want to make the brisket. Maybe I'll wait till you're back. I'm going to sit and eat a whole brisket by myself.
And if you don't know what brisket we're talking about, you have to become a Patreon member. Mm-hmm. There are two back-to-back vlogs for Rosh Hashanah this year. Olivia made a brisket. Jackie made a brisket. Jackie and I like followed this recipe from a cookbook I had just got in PR from J. Cohen, the TikToker. And honestly, it was the craziest thing ever, but it ended up being the most insanely delicious, amazing thing. So between the moving vlog, the brisket, it's never a bad time to become a Patreon member. Patreon.com/The Toast.
Yeah, good stuff over there. We've got two more episodes coming at you this month, and they are Good Ones podcast episodes for the podcast listeners.
Yeah, we had a lot of vlogs this month. My Jackie's children's book vlog for launch week. Oh my God, wait, we didn't even talk about how like we're stars.
On Entertainment Tonight?
Yeah, so last week was such a crazy week because Jackie was here for her book and then everything was happening in Israel and like we like literally didn't know how to function.
That was two weeks ago. You were in LA last week.
Oh my God. So Entertainment Tonight, we had scheduled for them to come to interview us, do like a studio tour, talk about Jackie's book, just talk about The Toast. And it was so good. It just came out on digital. And I think it airs this weekend. If you go to Entertainment Tonight, you should be able to find it. We talk about everything. The book, how we started The Toast, our favorite guests, our least favorite guests, Ozempic, of course. I can't leave my house without talking about it. And actually, the first thing in my apartment was Ozempic. The first thing before any of the boxes
got
there.
Right in the fridge.
Right in the fridge.
Priorities.
Yeah, well, if that thing drops in temperature, I'm screwed.
No, the Entertainment Tonight segment was so good. And it was fun. And there's just like kind of a lot of behind the scenes stuff about your girls that you might not know. I feel like everyone knows everything about us, but they found mm-hmm. like a new fresh angle to keep it fresh.
100%.
So check that out.
100% certified fresh.
What's that?
Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay, that's what I thought.
When something's good, they call it certified fresh. I don't really like to talk about Rotten Tomatoes or give them any sort of credence because I think the entire
philosophy
of their brand is broken and flawed.
No, they're broken people.
I mean, that's never been more clear.
It's so rigged and fraudulent, and they act as if they're the voice of the people, and they're the voice of nobody. They speak for nobody except for maybe like a couple curmudgeon critics.
Curmudgeon critics. Couldn't have said it better myself.
So now, without further ado, here are the Fast Five Stories that you need to know.
And the Fast Five Stories that you need to know are brought to you by Rakuten. Very exciting. Just lost my...
Very exciting.
My tab. Okay. Today's episode of The Toast is brought to you by Rakuten, where you can shop for everything from fashion to beauty and home decor to groceries. Rakuten makes it so easy to earn cash back when you shop at thousands of brands across almost every category. And with holiday shopping around the corner, Rakuten is the smartest way to save money when you shop because you can stack holiday sales and deals on top of cash back to maximize your savings. Some of our favorite brands like e.l.f. Cosmetics, Dyson, Stanley are all participating in Rakuten's Cyber Monday and Black Friday deals. And during Black Friday to Cyber Monday are the highest cashback rates of the year, all the way up to 15% cashback on the stores you are already shopping. Black Friday and Cyber Monday can be overwhelming, but with Rakuten, they are making it easy to earn cashback and get all your holiday shopping done. Start all your shopping trips at Rakuten.com or get the Rakuten app to start saving today. Your cashback really adds up with all the money we're spending in the next few months because of the holidays, Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa, like... You better be doing the most to earn cash back, to be maximizing deals and just taking advantage of all that. And Rakuten is the number one place to start. They will help you out. And they also have just fabulous brands like Dyson. Hello. Hello. So shop at Rakuten.com or get the Rakuten app. It's Rakuten. That's the app to start saving today. Your cash back really does add up. Today's episode is also brought to you by Saks. We are always doing our best when it comes to looking fabulous on the podcast. Oh my God. You know what we used to say we're Maxinistas?
We're Saxonistas.
We're Saxonistas. I love that. So sometimes our pajama uniforms and sweatshirts do need a little bit of an upgrade. And that's why we love shopping at Saks.com for everything from podcast looks to GNO outfits and more. It's also just easy to shop on the Saks website. They have so many different categories. You can go specific. Like when I go on vacation, I always do like a haul. And they have a vacation edit. They have work edit, wedding guest. They just make it really easy to find exactly what you're looking for because they have pages and pages of really beautiful things, but their categories make it really easy to shop. So whether you're going for a cozy vibe, you can shop that. A more elevated look, they've got it all at Saks.com. And those categories I was talking about, they get really specific. Like if you want to shop by your star sign, because you know I am like a Cancer moon Leo rising. I don't know if you knew that about me. Somebody told me that in the comments yesterday. I could shop that way if I wanted to. You could find the perfect revenge dress from brands like Christopher Esber and Cult Gaia. Another great reason to shop at Saks is because they do such a great job of discovering new up-and-coming designers, and you can start wearing certain tings before everyone else. Like the outfit I wore to the Eras Tour, Danielle Guzio, like found it at Saks before everybody else, and now everyone's wearing it, and like I was cool because I had it before. So discover new ways to shop for everything every day at Saks.com. That's S-A-K-S.com. Today's episode is also brought to you by Drizly, the go-to app for drink delivery. Drizly is the most convenient way to get beer, wine, and spirits delivered to your doorstep right when you want it. Their tailored experience lets you find the perfect drink for the occasion, no matter what it is. You'll save big time by shopping a huge selection of drinks from wherever you are. You'll save money by comparing prices on drinks across multiple stores. Great for gifting, like you're headed to a dinner party and you told your husband to pick something up and of course he didn't, but you're leaving in like 2 hours. Do it on Drizly. It'll show up and do all the work for you. You can get a nice bottle of wine. It's nice to show up somewhere with something, and Drizly understands that. So the last minute gift is covered with the option to schedule ahead, ship, and deliver gifts on demand. So if like you're on your way out and you realize you forgot, ship directly to their door, saving everyone time. Also, another fabulous part about Drizly is that in a lot of cities, you can get our canned cocktail Spritz Society on it. It's just fabulous. I love Drizly. So download the Drizly app. Don't be stupid. Or go to drizly.com. That's D-R-I-Z-L-Y.com. Use code TOAST and you'll get $5 off or $0 delivery fee off your next order. You must be 21 or over. It's not valid in all states. Codes cannot be combined with any other offers. Not valid at all retailers. Code expires November 10th, 2023 at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you, Drizly, for sponsoring that code one more time. Download the Drizly app or go to drizly.com, D-R-I-Z-L-Y.com. Use code TOAST. You'll receive $5 off or $0 delivery fee off your next order. Must be 21 or over. Not valid in all states. Codes cannot be combined with any other offers. Not valid at all retailers. Codes expire November 10th, 2023, 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time.
Thank you, Claudia.
You're welcome.
Our first story, a bit of podcasting rumor news.
Oh, my God. Is it about us? Everyone's always starting stuff about us.
No, not today.
Not today. Not today. Not today.
About a similar star, Meghan Markle is thrilled as she nears a multi-million dollar make or break deal for her podcast. So Meghan Markle is thrilled about being on the verge of landing her first major deal since parting ways with Spotify, according to a new report. The Duchess of Sussex is...
Like, how do they know she's thrilled? Like,
right. I mean, if you're signing a deal, any deal, I imagine it's thrilling.
It's fair to assume.
It's fair to assume. But yeah. The Duchess is said to be inching closer towards signing on the dotted line for a multi-million dollar contract with Amazon's podcast production partner, Wondery. Audible.
Oh, Audible. Because Amazon's podcast, like in-house podcast studio, is Wondery. Like they own Smartless.
Yeah, but Audible is Amazon.
Yeah, but that's audiobooks.
Maybe they're combining their audio department. Maybe Wondery is under Audible.
Maybe. Yeah. I like that.
A source told the Closer UK that the new venture has the power.
The most legit publication in all of UK.
The new venture has the power to make or break her Hollywood dream. That's a little extreme.
Okay. This article is moronic, but what we are taking away yes. is that her podcast is not over.
And that she's talking to Amazon.
Well, that's weird to me because the narrative with the last podcast was that they didn't want to do it anymore, and that's why the Spotify deal ended.
Was that the narrative?
Yeah, that, like, she didn't fulfill her duties. That's what people were saying. And so, like, they just ended it before all the episodes were contractually – all the episodes that she was obligated to do contractually. She hadn't even done them. That's what they said.
Interesting. So maybe
based on what I know about the Spotify podcast, I would have assumed she wouldn't be doing a podcast anymore.
Right. Same. But I mean, maybe she liked it. And maybe now she knows like how many episodes she wants to do. Like maybe now that she has her feet wet, she's prepared to like make a deal that will work better for her. I feel like that Spotify deal was very vague. Now, I don't know anything, but it was just like a deal and they had their holiday episode and then she started a podcast, but it wasn't like, you're going to start your Meghan Markle podcast. You're going to give us 50 episodes a year. I think it was kind of just like, here you go. And then they were upset that they didn't produce as much as they had wanted. But I mean, obviously I didn't see the contract, but that's the vibe I got. Because they let them get away with like no content for years.
I have to imagine that the contract said X amount of episodes. Like, that's just bad legal.
I could just see it being really vague. Like, because it also, like, that first show wasn't even part of Archetypes. So it wasn't like she had a contract to do Archetypes.
Right.
You know what I mean? They just had a contract to have Meghan and Harry on Spotify.
I mean, I could truly, like, wax poetic for hours about, like, the Spotify exclusive podcast business model that they did for a few years. I feel like they're not doing it anymore. They took a lot of shows completely exclusively, but recently they released some of those shows. Like Armchair Expert is now available on a bunch of platforms. I believe Emma Chamberlain's is too. And Spotify still like does the distribution and like ad sales like any ordinary podcast network would do for a podcast, but they're no longer exclusive to Spotify. Call Her Daddy is, and Joe Rogan is. I'm sure there are others, but those are the ones that come to mind. But I don't know, like, their business model is, like, being shaken up now.
Yeah. I think they're in a period of transition, a period of flux. I look forward to seeing how it all plays out.
Well, I'm moving, so I totally relate to being in, like, a period of transition.
And a period of flux.
And flux, and also just having my period.
Well, this is interesting. When I saw the headline, it was like her make or break Hollywood dream deal. I thought she might go back to acting.
Okay, yeah, like that's so dramatic. Her make or break. If there was like a make or break Hollywood dream deal, it would have been when she got on Suits. So that's over. And second of all, like she's already like A-list permanent.
No, I know. Like, I would think a make or break Hollywood dream deal would be like a 3-movie deal with Martin Scorsese.
Yeah, or I think what they're maybe going to end up doing, she goes the route of like Reese Witherspoon and does like, because they just did like a book club. Right, they're optioning Emily Henry's book, Happy Place, which I absolutely hated. They're optioning it into a movie.
They are. Right? Was it Meet Me at the Lake?
Oh, literally same thing. Okay.
Okay.
Same thing. Meet Me at the Lake. Yes. I liked that book a little bit. I didn't hate it. So if she like started a production company and, you know, optioned 10 books, like that's a make or break Hollywood. Yeah. You become like Reese.
Right. I feel like podcasting is not for her. And when I think about like what I would see her doing, it would be more like Joanna Gaines-y, Oprah, like content. Oprah. Like, we want to see you, first of all.
It's true.
You're a gorgeous lady.
We want to see you. And like, and we want to see your the
house.
Fashion.
And we want to see the house. We want to see the vibes.
Yep. It's so true. Podcasting
is for hiders.
It's for ugly girls. No kidding. I'm completely kidding. I agree. She's far too beautiful to be like hidden behind a microphone.
I agree.
And it's also, and maybe this was her experience, it sounds like such an easy job. And I think people underestimate the amount of like labor that's required to put out like a good piece of content, even if you have help. So maybe, and I think that happens to a lot of people, you start a podcast and it's just like, it was supposed to be a side thing, but it's a lot of fucking work. And you have to like leverage your personal relationships to ask people to come on. Like maybe she didn't want to do that. It's not as like dumb and simple as I think a lot of people think it is. And so maybe that was her experience. She was like, you know what, this is like too much work. I'm over it. But she's going back to it.
Right. So that's the surprising piece, if true.
Just keep in mind, this is not a person who needs to work like imminently. They have a good amount of money.
They would be okay. I think they do like need to work a bit.
No, they need to sustain the lifestyle.
But I also think that they want to be top of mind, relevant, like in the press, spoken about. That helps their other ventures, you know.
Yeah.
You got to have something going on. That goes for anyone.
That goes for the business. That's Hollywood, baby.
That's showbiz, baby.
That's showbiz. So let's just hope and cross our fingers it's a vodcast.
Yeah.
So the Spotify one was not.
Even though Spotify likes a vodcast.
Everyone loves a vodcast. Yeah. Like, we want to see, bitch.
Vodcasting is the new thing.
Vodcasting greater than podcasting.
We've been doing it since day one.
That's the thing about us that nobody ever, like, gives us credit for the trailblazing effect of our business.
Yeah, but we know.
And that's, like, all that matters. Not. Not.
Are you ready for our next story?
I honestly and truly am.
Some more memoir news this week. We've got another memoir coming out next week. I could give you a...
Let me think.
I could give you a million guesses, and you won't guess who's writing, who wrote their memoirs.
Really?
Yeah, he's just not someone you think about. Actually, okay. I guess I could give you some roundabout clues. Maybe you could get it. Because weirdly, when I think of this guy right now, like, this is what I think of, sadly. Okay. I know there are more obvious clues, but this is what I think of. Father of Kim's friend.
Lionel Richie?
No, good guess.
Rick Hilton?
No, good guess. Okay.
I'm going to get
father
it.
No, I'm going to get of Lifer.
Father of Lifer. David Foster?
No.
Father of Lifer.
You might not know this fun fact.
Maybe not.
Henry Winkler.
I knew that. And I have a story about Henry Winkler. I don't know. I feel like every time he comes up on the toast, I've said it.
He's only come up like once or twice.
I had a really interesting interaction with Henry Winkler on a flight.
What happened? Maybe it'll be in his memoir.
No, literally, because it was, I think he was really taken by me. He gets on the plane and the seat that I was, New York to LA, the seat that I was sitting in was like the seat he needed because he was like with a, like his family or something. And he was like, do you mind switching? I actually ended up getting a better seat, so I was happy to do it. And when I heard it was for a celebrity, I was more than happy to oblige. He was so grateful. Like, you would have thought I gave him like the shirt off my back. He was so grateful. And like the whole flight, every time he walked by me, he was like, oh, thank you. Such a nice guy. And we just kind of became best friends after that.
So I look forward to reading about it from his perspective in his new memoir called Being Henry, The Fonz and Beyond.
Yeah, he has like a huge legacy that I'm so unfamiliar with.
Yeah.
What is The Fonz?
I have no idea. To me,
it's a show.
He's like the water boy.
Yeah.
But to other people, he's the Fonz, and I think being described as Kim's friend's dad.
Right, Zoe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, he has his memoirs coming out. Why do people
memoirs call it? Memoirs of a Fonzie.
Memoirs of a Fonzie, that would be a better name. But why do, when someone's written their memoirs, why is it plural, even though it's a memoir?
It's a good question. Maybe because it's like their memories in a book, but it makes no sense. What do you think is the best titled memoir besides Girl With No Job, The Crazy Beautiful Life of an Instagram Thirst Monster?
Memoirs of a Streisand.
No, but like for real.
I would need a list. I know you what?
Because I have an answer. It was Reza Farahan from Shahs of Sunset, Memoirs of a Gay Shah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard a better titled book.
No, I didn't even hear that. Honestly, like that's the kind of book where it's like you have the title first and then you write the book to suit the title.
100%, because I cannot hear the word memoir without thinking of that film, Memoirs of a Geisha, which I've literally never seen. I don't even know what it's about.
You know, it's a book first, and I think it's an amazing book. I haven't read it or seen the movie, and I think that's a book that we should read.
Maybe do it for the redheads.
I'm sure someone in of the four of us has read it, but it's historical fiction.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like, I actually should read that.
Yeah, like Memoirs of a, I always am saying something like that. Memoirs of a something.
Memoirs of a Streisand.
Oh, somebody gave me a good, our friend Joe Grun, he texted me because he listens to the toast and I was saying, what should my next book be called? A Tale of Two Turdies.
Which two of these turdies?
So he's like, you need to have kids. And like, then there's like two turdies, like the new mom era and then like the previous whack job turdy.
Okay. But you really want turdy in the title?
Like, no, but yes.
We'll work on it.
Just, it's a starting point.
But speaking of his memoirs, Henry Winkler has written his, and he's opening up about rejecting the lead role in Grease. I love these stories.
I love these stories.
So it only took one word spread across three syllables for Henry Winkler to go down in television history. In his first audition for Happy Days, Winkler dropped his iconic A, which became an immediate signature for his 1950s greaser, Arthur Fonzie Fonzarelli. I guess that's...
Oh, so it's Happy Days.
I guess so. But
I'm so unfamiliar.
After his effortlessly cool character became a bedrock of the hit American sitcom across its show's 10-year
run. I love the word bedrock.
Bedrock. Beans are the bedrock.
Right.
Winkler found himself paralyzed. This is a People magazine article that's incredibly well written. Winkler found himself paralyzed by fears of being typecast, going so far as to turn down the role of Danny Zuko in 1978's Grease, which was ultimately played by John Travolta, he writes in his memoir.
I need to look up what a young Henry Winkler looks like just so I can visualize him as Danny Zuko.
Henry said, "I was dumb. I spent so much energy, so much time. I spent so many sleepless nights thinking, how do I not get typecast?" What would he tell actors facing a similar predicament today? You go with the flow. What you do is you prepare to reinvent yourself. You do something completely different and then come back to center. I feel like the idea of being typecast, like the predicament of being typecast is such a good problem to have, like such
a dream.
A luxury to be like, oh, in so many things, so many popular things as the same person. Like, okay, if you ever get to that point, like a good problem to have.
I just looked up a picture of a young Henry Winkler. He looks literally like Danny Zuko. His hair is gelled back and he was wearing a leather jacket. And I guess that might have been what his character on Happy Days was like. So he didn't want to do another like slick back bad boy thing. So I get it. And you know what? It kind of served him well because my sort of
association
of Henry Winkler is like family man, cutie, like opposite of Danny Zuko. So it worked.
Yeah, I agree.
And honestly, that movie like made John Travolta after Saturday Night Fever. So like that was good for John Travolta. It was good for Scientology. And I guess good for Henry Winkler.
It was meant to be because John Travolta is meant to be Danny Zuko. I'm not looking for a different Danny Zuko.
I feel like whenever we hear about missed casting news, like things that almost, it's always from Watch What Happens Live.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to have gotten this from another news source.
From a primary source.
From a primary source. I don't know if I would read this book. I don't think that I would.
I would require too much Googling for me. And also, it's like, I don't even know how Happy Days was received. Was it the biggest show on TV? I don't know. How many seasons?
It was? Yeah, but like, unless you lived it or even remotely familiar with it, I don't feel like it would be interesting.
Yeah, but then like, I read a memoir last year by Carrie White. She was a celebrity hairstylist like in the 70s, 80s. And you would think like that wouldn't do it for me, but it was so fascinating.
Yeah, I remember.
It's called Uppercut. I highly recommend.
I like that name. That's a good title. Oh, what's Henry's title?
Being Henry.
It's a little basic.
And then subtitle, The Fonz, ... and beyond. If he had played Buzz Lightyear, that would be like better.
Did he?
Who plays Buzz Lightyear?
I'm trying to think. It could I know be. Tom Hanks is Woody. Uh-huh.
Who plays Buzz Lightyear? Like Tim voice. Allen.
Classic.
Yeah. Classic voice.
Well, happy for the Fonz. Happy for my former seatmate. And like, it's so good to see him out here, like, you know, doing big things.
Why is it memoir season?
That's a good question. Well, a lot of books do come out before holiday season, true. October, November, because that's just good for book sales. Yeah. So I do believe that's why.
Another memoir that's really amazing is The Camper and the Counselor.
Yeah, a young girl's struggle. It's beautiful.
To find herself in a whole new world.
It's kind of a coming of age story.
It is a coming of age story. And I've gotten a lot of feedback from people who it's like, this is a great book, not even about camp, just about like separation anxiety, about leaving your parents for the first time to do anything, like a sleepover. It has
Theo needs that book.
It has eternal lessons.
Yeah, it's a universal story.
It is. It really is. Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah.
Daniel Radcliffe's Harry Potter stunt double was paralyzed after a Deathly Hallows set accident, and now the two have teamed up for a documentary to tell his story. So Daniel Radcliffe has boarded the upcoming HBO original documentary called David Holmes, The Boy Who Lived, as an executive producer, in addition to being prominently featured in the film as an interview subject. The movie, which is set to debut in November, chronicles the life of Daniel's Harry Potter stunt double, who worked closely alongside Daniel from Sorcerer's Stone all the way to Deathly Hallows Part 1, when he was tragically paralyzed during a set accident. Holmes broke his neck performing a stunt and was paralyzed from the chest down. The official doc synopsis from HBO reads, the film is a coming-of-age story of stuntman David Holmes, a prodigious teenage gymnast from Essex, England, who was selected to play Daniel Radcliffe's stunt double in the first Harry Potter film when Daniel is just 11. Over the next 10 years, the two form an inextricable bond, but on the penultimate film, a tragic accident on set leaves David paralyzed with a debilitating spinal injury, turning his world upside down. As Daniel and his closest stunt colleagues rally to support David and his family in their moment of need, it is David's extraordinary spirit of resilience that becomes their greatest source of strength and inspiration.
Oh my God, I literally have chills. Yes. I chose this story. I just want to get credit for it. Because I saw it and I was like, this is so fabulous. You know, telling a story that would never get told. I feel like situations like this get buried because like Hollywood doesn't want like their practices to be called into question. Yeah. I love that Daniel Radcliffe is associated with it. One, because it'll just get more eyeballs on it because that's how the world works. And two, I think if he wasn't on it, depending on how the story is told, like he could come off almost like a villain. I don't know what happened, but the fact that he's a part of it and amplifying the story and, you know, he has a friendship with this guy, I think it's fabulous.
Yeah, I think it'll be really interesting. I didn't even know this story. I'm not a Harry Me Potter neither. Swirly, so maybe it's known in that community, but
I also feel like there are probably a lot of stories like this that don't get told. Like this, I would watch a documentary on like stunt community in general,
stunt culture.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a crazy job to choose. It's for that thrill seeking type of guy or gal.
Yeah,
it's like that's a job I could never do. I'm like afraid of fucking everything.
Yeah, I actually saw a video recently. You know how everyone says like Tom Cruise does his own stunts? Like that just like never meant anything to me.
I saw the video
I think
too.
I might have sent it to you because I was so impressed by like what it meant for him to do his own stunts.
You probably sent it to me on Reels after I'd seen it a few times.
No, you sounded impressed. And it was just like him riding a motorcycle off a cliff over and over and over again.
Yeah, I agree. Like Tom Cruise does his own stunts. Like those are words that meant nothing to me.
Yeah, just a couple of words strung together.
Especially because I never saw Mission Impossible. Like I don't know what the stunts are, right. You know? But I agree. I saw the visual of that. And also him, there's a scene where a plane is taking off and he's like literally holding onto the plane on the wing.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so I saw that too. He's a nut. There's literally no reason for that. Like in this day and age, like do it in a studio. And get a computer. Like,
Tom Cruise is so interesting. And you know what made me think about him?
The perfect word for him is nutty. Like, he's nutty.
But I was just thinking about him because in Beckham, like, when the Beckhams move to America, they become friends with celebrities, but they keep saying Tom Cruise, Tom Cruise, Tom Cruise. Like, as if...
Oh, did they? I don't even remember.
Yeah, like, he was always out with Tom Cruise. Like, as if that was, like, the biggest guy in the world. And, like, I guess that he is?
He was. No, he's not. He was, like, back in the day. Because now, with the internet, like, people know things about Tom Cruise. Like, Scientology, no, and like, I think even, a lot of that came out after he divorced Katie Holmes.
Yeah, Katie Holmes was, like, who they were double dating with at the time. But, like, even every time Tom Cruise comes out with a movie, it's number one. He's, like, the biggest movie star still. But he just,
he's kind of that definition of, like, an old school movie star. We don't really have, like, movie stars anymore because everyone does a million movies on all the streaming. But back in the day, there was a couple movies a year that were the biggest ones. And if there was a Tom Cruise movie, like, he was the star. Like, he was the definition of a quintessential movie star.
One, he still is. And two, it's just, like, it doesn't compute for me. Just like Tom Cruise does his own stunts. Like, Tom Cruise new movie, like, I just am not paying attention.
It's not our genre.
So... it was just crazy. Like, it's David Beckham. He's coming to America, and it's about Tom Cruise.
So who do you think is, like, the next Tom Cruise?
Where it's, like, every movie is a success.
I think it's Miles Teller. I feel like Top Gun was, like, the actual
passing of the baton. Yeah, but I feel like Miles Teller will do and has done, like, more, like, artsy introspective movies, whereas, like, Tom Cruise action.
Yeah, yeah, no, like mass appeal.
They're just action movies, good or bad. Mission Impossible, like Miles Teller. I guess like Tom Cruise doesn't Marvel. Tom Cruise doesn't get nominated for an Oscar.
So I guess it's like Marvel, maybe like Chris Hemsworth or Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt. Pratt of the Chris but variety.
But no, Chris Pratt being a movie isn't a guaranteed box office success.
It kind of is.
No, it's really not.
Why? What recently? Even like his Super Mario.
Super Mario.
Huge. Was really? It broke like every record. Yeah, people didn't like it because they don't like him, but it broke every record. That's literally Tom Cruise.
I stand by it like a Chris Hemsworth.
I think it's a Chris of the Pratt variety.
Yeah, you're right. It's not like the Oscar artsy, good
Jurassic
movies.
World.
Yeah, Jurassic World. Yeah. He's got a lot of franchises under his belt.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
No, Claudia, these two people are the same.
But I don't think of Chris Pratt as like so famous as a person. Do you know what I mean?
I
don't think he gets hounded by paparazzi. You know?
I think that if he wanted to, he could.
Yeah, maybe Tom Cruise wanted to.
Yeah, but now he doesn't.
No.
Interesting.
Highway to the danger zone. Ba-ba-da. You know?
I do know. Anyways, the documentary on the stunt double looks fascinating.
Oh, yeah. We took that really far. It does look fascinating. And it makes me really like Daniel Radcliffe, like amplifying, you know, the silenced voice of this person.
Yeah. Daniel Radcliffe, another one.
Let's talk about it. Because I've been dying to talk about it for a fucking minute.
What do you have to say?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
What an interesting fella. You think he's set for life financially?
1,000%. And that's kind of the dream. I know he does like other smaller projects now. And like...
He does like independence.
Yeah, and like comedy. He kind of can like fuck around and do whatever he wants. Yeah,
I feel like he's done like some projects with Funny or Die.
Yeah, he has this show that's like a medieval parody show.
Okay.
But yeah, he just can fuck around. He has mailbox money for life.
Love that. You think Ron Weasley does?
Yeah.
And Emma?
Yeah.
But she continues to work like in mainstream
things. Yeah, but she also chooses like some dogs.
Yeah. Some dogs.
Like yeah, she chooses unprofitable things. Not
Beauty and the Beast.
Not Beauty and the Beast. But I feel like, I don't know why I feel like she didn't want to do it.
Oh, I'm also so glad you talk about that because I've been dying to talk about it for a fucking minute.
And I feel like maybe, honestly.
Beauty and the Beast is my absolute favorite recent Disney film in like the last 20 years. It's the best
hands
one.
Hands down. It's unreal. It's perfection.
It's perfection. We've watched it 1,000 times. We know everything about it. We watch like the DVD extras. And you're right. Like Emma Watson has this attitude where she's like clearly doing it for the money and she thinks this is stupid.
No, I don't even think it's for the money. Like maybe she was blackmailed or something, but you just get the sense that she doesn't want to be there.
And if you watch the movie now through that lens, you will understand what we're saying. And I think it's because she's fiercely feminist. And Disney at its, like, you know, basics, especially that film, you know, she marries her captor. Like, it's not the most woke, you know, female first, herstory type of film, but that's why we love it.
Right, so it's like, why did she take it? And even when she, like, would do interviews about the role, she was like, I really wanted Belle to be, like, you know, more of like
an industrialist.
Industrial modern woman, like, you know, can take care of herself, independent. So that's why they have that scene of her doing her laundry in an innovative way.
No, and that's why... I also saw this in a DVD extra. Something that was Emma Watson's idea was to have Belle's like dress that she wears throughout town be hiked up on the side, a signal that she's an industrialist because she can't be walking around town in a dress. Her dress needs to be hiked up with her boots so that she can, you know, do her laundry in an innovative way.
Yeah, so she does her laundry in an innovative way, thus, you know, flipping on its head. The message of Stockholm Syndrome in the movie.
She's very mechanical that she learned from her father.
And I'm just like, so why'd you do it?
Yeah, like, let's get a woman in here who doesn't care.
Like, because it just kind of puts this cloud over the movie of, like, Emma Watson hates this movie.
Oh, my God. You're so right. And, like, we know Emma Watson. We know her personality and her values and what she stands for. And we know, honestly, like, Belle is different. Like, Belle's not like that.
Belle is just a traditional woman who likes to read.
Yeah, and like wants to be taken care of.
Yeah, she saw that castle. She got ideas.
She was impressed.
She had ideas.
So you're right. I guess like the one fatal flaw is that Emma Watson's like personality really doesn't align with the character of Belle. And she doesn't do a good job of hiding it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Emma Watson is just one of those girls. And I feel like I always talk about them, like this new modern wave feminism who like wears T-shirts that say, you know, the future is hers. Her story, the future is female. It's very like performative, in my opinion, like white woman's activism and doesn't actually move the needle. And those people like don't actually support women.
No.
This is like my, that's just my, I don't know if that's true about Emma Watson. That's just how I receive it. That sort of activism. And it doesn't align with like the Disney of yore.
No, it doesn't. She tried to like make it something that it's not. Okay, Belle did her laundry. Cool.
Right. Belle's skirt was hiked up a little bit.
Cool.
But like not in a provocative way, no. In an industrial way.
No, and in a, like a signaling way so that you.
Oh, yeah.
And so that like, you, that scene, 8-year-old wait. Viewer, know she's not like other girls.
And then there's that scene where her dad is, you know, being crazy Maurice, and he's putting together some piece of technology with gears and shifts, and he can't figure it out. And in 2 seconds, Belle comes over and she's like, Father, she flips the little gear, flips the switch. Now it works.
She's brilliant, that Belle.
She's brilliant, that Belle.
So Daniel Radcliffe doesn't have to work.
Right. That's what we were going for.
And until I experience Harry Potter, which I do believe like as a boy mom, that's in my future.
100%.
So that's why like I'm not going to clown on Harry Potter. I just like kind of take a step back and I'm like, I don't know anything, but I look forward to entering the world because I think once I do, I'll be obsessed. And also ever since someone told me that I'm a Ravenclaw and explained the traits of Ravenclaw, girl, I'm a Ravenclaw.
I was told I'm a Gryffindor.
I think you are a Gryffindor. Like affable.
You're such a Ravenclaw. And I literally don't even know, but I know they probably read. No,
they're like independent thinkers, like question everything.
That's so
come to their own conclusions.
You.
Gryffindor is like very affable is the vibe.
Yeah, I'm definitely a Gryffindor. All I know is that if somebody calls you a Slytherin, like they hate you and they think of you like an extremely low. But
do they not hate you more if they call you Hufflepuff?
I just think like, and maybe I have a lack of knowledge. I just feel like if you call me Hufflepuff, like you're calling me fat.
1000%.
1000%. And I don't know, but it's just the vibe.
Yeah.
Like Hufflepuff is like.
It's Puff. Yeah. It's chubby. Yeah. And from like the few moments I have seen of Harry Potter, like I just remember like one Hufflepuff character that was chubby.
Yeah. No, that's definitely facts.
I'll need to look more into it. I can't imagine it's a whole house of chubby people.
If I have to imagine like Hufflepuff,
it's Bruce it's from Matilda.
Like, it's like that more chubby, affable type of person, but who's severely underestimated intellectually, if I had to guess.
Got it. And Gryffindor is like that affable kind of like color war captain vibe.
Main character energy, color war captain, yes.
Yeah.
Slytherin is like really smart intellectual who uses their powers for evil.
Yeah. And blonde, or if you're blonde.
Yeah, of course. And I think Ravenclaw is the opposite of that. Like, really smart intellectually, but you use your power for good and, like, you think critically.
That's why your girl is Ravenclaw.
I've seen definitely, like, Chamber of Commerce, whatever that first movie's called. Chamber of Secrets. Secrets. And I definitely saw the second one. And that's it. And I was shocked to find out, actually, because I never like fully kept up with it, that Robert Pattinson plays a critical role in a later film. Hmm. Twilight wasn't his first franchise.
He's done this before.
I think I've seen this film before.
And I didn't like the ending. I think I have seen a couple Harry Potters just because, like, you know, at camp we had to go see a movie, Harry Potter.
Yeah.
There was one.
Ben's obsessed.
There was one with a tree, a big tree. It was spooky.
Sorcerer's Stone?
I don't know.
Let me try and guess the names of the Harry Potter movies. I know Chamber of Commerce and I know Sorcerer's Stone. I know those are the first two. I believe
I
those
now know
two
Deathly
I
Hollows. I guess it was part one and two because we just read this article. That was Deathly Hollows.
Okay, so that's first two and second two. And there's 7 movies.
There are.
So we need the middle
What's
three.
What's also crazy is that in the UK, they're called something different. I believe Sorcerer's Stone is called Philosopher's Stone.
Worst name.
I think so. Like, where did I... Harry Potter, Philosopher's Stone.
I feel like one of the films has the word portal in it. Like...
Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. Yeah. Oh, you know, I think I saw that on, like, a first edition, like, website where you could, like, buy a Harry Potter books. Let's go through them. See if they ring a bell.
Chamber of Commerce.
Harry Potter, the complete collection on eBay. Sorcerer's Stone, Chamber of Secrets, Prisoner of Azkaban. Yeah.
Oh, classic Prisoner of Azkaban.
Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
I'm familiar.
Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
I don't familiar. Know her.
Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
Oh, I know him.
I know him less. And then Harry Potter.
How much is the full collection going for on eBay?
And the Deathly Hallows. Let's see. This one's $50.
For 7 books?
Yeah, 1 to 7.
It's like not a bad price.
No, but why would you buy this on eBay and not Amazon?
No, it's a good point.
Especially it's a not like first edition or anything. Like, actually, like I think it's like a better price than Amazon.
Yeah, I guess if you're trying to be like sustainable.
Trills. No, and this is definitely a better price than Amazon. Like you're getting a deal here. I just assume because it's on eBay, it's going to be like more.
Antique.
Yeah, first edition.
Yeah.
So if anybody wanted the complete set, go ahead. Now are you ready for our next story?
Is it our next story that's brought to you by State Farm?
It is.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create a plan that gives you options so you get an affordable price. And it comes with a lot of benefits, like the coverage you want, a policy that helps cover what's important to you, and an affordable price just for you. Because after all, life is just better when you can personalize your experiences. So think about it like this. What are your music playlists, podcast feeds, and social media scrolls all have in common? Well, they're a reflection of you. We all know my social media is full of airs yelling at New York City doormen to let them in the club, even though I found out yesterday that video was a scam. Jackie's very much like in her, you know, breastfeeding content, co-sleeping, whatever those words are. We're different, but we're so similar. And insurance is the same way. We require different coverage, even though Jackie and I are so similar. Jackie's a homeowner. She lives in a different state. She has a Tesla. I'm a renter. I live in New York. Like, we have different needs. And State Farm understands that. That's what the State Farm Personal Price Plan is all about. It gives you options to help you personalize your coverage so that you can protect what you care about most, all at an affordable price just for you. So you can see yourself in more of everything that you love. Like a good neighbor. Oh my God. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Call or go to statefarm.com today to create your State Farm Personal Price Plan. Prices vary by state. Options selected by customer. Availability and eligibility may vary. Call or go to statefarm.com today to create your State Farm Personal Price Plan. Prices vary by state. Options selected by customer. Availability and eligibility may vary. Today's episode is also brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content to time. It's all done in one place and it's all done on your terms. So there's a million reasons why you could start a website. One of them being it's 2023. Like, what are you doing if you don't have a website? If you're starting a side business or an e-commerce website, Squarespace is fabulous. Starting a website can be extremely overwhelming and daunting. Squarespace makes it easy. They've got templates. It'll make your website look like a professional did it, but it was really just you in your basement. So again, e-commerce is a great reason to have a website. If you're a photographer, a videographer, an artist, and you want to showcase your assets, have a portfolio of your work, they can do that too. They have flexible templates. You can get started with one of them. With designs for every category and use case, you'll be able to customize your look, update content, and add features to fit your unique needs. You can also do email campaigns where you drive sales and engage your audience with Squarespace email campaigns. You can easily collect subscribers on your site and build connections and repeat business through regular email updates. In my opinion, one of the best parts is that if you are a seller of something and you sell online but you want to sell in person, you can sell in person by connecting a Square Reader to the Squarespace app. You'll be able to keep your orders, your inventory, and your customer data in sync with your online store. So head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/toast to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/toast.
Thank you, La.
You're welcome.
Our next story, it's that time of year.
It's the greatest time of year.
And it's the time of year for a lot of things, but I feel like one thing we always talk about around this time of year is The Crown, because it always comes out again in November.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm excited.
So the final season, part one, comes out November 16th. Part two comes out on December 14th. I don't know if that means like there's just two long episodes or what have you, but the...
Wait, what? Part one...
of the final season.
So is it like 5 episodes and 5 episodes, 10 episodes and 10 episodes, 1 episode and then 1?
No, Latterd. That's not the point of the story.
Sorry. Just because you have the iPad, I thought you like...
No, I mean, that's not the point of the story. So they just like drop that confusing tidbit, which I then had to like relay as if I understood.
As an expert.
But the point of the story is that the Crown creator, Peter Morgan, reveals how Queen Elizabeth's death changed the show's ending. Mm. So Peter Morgan, the mind behind The Crown, explained to Variety in the new interview that he was compelled to change direction with the hit television show as a result of the Queen's death. He said, "We'd all been through the experience of the funeral, so because of how deeply everybody will have felt that, I had to try and find a way in which the final episode dealt with the character's death, even though she hadn't died yet." So the
Right, because we're saying goodbye to her, like, forever. Right,
and the show will end in 2005. He said it was important
to
keep the cutoff, to keep it historical, not journalistic. So it stops almost 20 days before present time. This last season...
20 years.
Yeah, 20 days. Lols. This season will delve into Prince William navigating life in the wake of his mother's death, the marriage of Charles and Camilla, the early stages of William and Kate Middleton's relationship, and the relationship between Diana and Dodi Fayed ahead of their fatal car crash in Paris.
No, and who just died? Mohammed Fayed, right?
Yeah.
Dodi died in the car.
Right. Oh, and then Mohammed died, I guess.
Just recently, like a year ago. Right. I love the actor who plays him. I don't know what Mohammed Fayed was like in real life, but he's so fucking funny.
He's so affable in the show.
No, I relate to him. Like, all he cares about is fame. And he's like, I have endless amounts of money. Get me fame.
And not even just fame. Get me to the queen.
Yeah, no, he had big dreams.
I'll buy this house for the queen.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm obsessed with him. Now, I love The Crown. And I love royals. And I love, you know, modern royals, but I feel like the beauty of The Crown for me was learning so much about a time before I was alive and the crazy things that happened in the royal family, but also in England and in the world. So I feel like a little fatigued by modern, like the Diana years. I feel like there's been so many documentaries and films, and I feel like we're always talking about Diana with Harry and Meghan. So I'm a little Diana era fatigued. I'll still watch it and love it, but I think I'll probably end up, when I rewatch the whole series in 10 years, really preferring the earlier seasons.
Yeah, and like the creator said, we're getting into a territory where it's like the history hasn't been written. It's a little bit disputed. Yep. It's a lot of like...
It's up for debate.
He said, she said. So I think the 90s portion will continue to be very interesting, especially like how Charles navigates being with Camilla. I don't really know. Even that all that stuff about like the phone call and the tampon.
Tampon.
I didn't know any of that. So to me, that was still like things in which I didn't know. Mm-hmm. I do look forward to seeing the portrayal of William and Kate just because that's always fun.
Yeah.
But
but the best part of The Crown is like literally after the episode, Googling and being like, oh my God, these things really happen. Princess Anne getting her toe sucked on the beach.
Right. So, but I think like up until 2005 for me personally, so I would have been 13, like I still wasn't paying that much attention, let alone to like the royal family. I didn't have a care in the world.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Unless
that's totally
like, they were meeting the Spice Girls. Then I care. Which they were.
Then
I wonder
care.
If the Spice Girls will be in. You know how sometimes... They just like put...
Yeah, like Jackie Kennedy was in an episode. Right. Random like celebrities, real people who met the queen.
Yeah, so I'm really excited for the final season of The Crown. It is still my dream for the next Crown to be like a Crown prequel and to be about Queen Victoria.
Oh, I would like that.
They should do like I do more feel like Crowns, probably, but just go back should. Further.
No, I totally love... Or different countries.
Different countries. They could do CC.
Russia.
They could do Russia for days.
Right. That's the, don't tell me. Romanovs.
Yeah. Just wait till you get sucked into the Romanovs, Turdy.
No, it's in my future.
I'd love that for you.
Yeah. Even though there was an episode of The Crown.
Yes.
About the Romanovs, and it ended, seemed that the Romanovs ended poorly.
I can't right? they all imagine killed? A worse fate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Were they Jewish?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm conflating two historical
Certainly
moments.
Not a friend to the Jews.
Oh, so I don't really care how they're fated.
Yeah, that's it. Always like I'm obsessed with Russian history
I
and
know.
All the czars. And then it's like I'll read about them and it's also glamorous and interesting. And it's like, but then like the way they treated their Jews is literally why we live in America now. Like that's right, where our family right, hails right. from.
As Russian girlies ourselves.
Yeah, so it's hard to, you know, balance, but I just keep it separate.
No, that's just whenever you, as like, a Jewish person or even like any person who's a conscious adult who knows about the Holocaust, but especially as a Jewish person, when I get into something historical that's not like World War II, like Downton Abbey, it starts in 1912. I'm like, well, what were these peeps doing in 1939?
Oh, you know? Yeah.
And they never get there in Downton Abbey. I think the show's, then the movie ends. It's like
27 is the first movie.
Right. So maybe we're at like 1930. I don't think they'll get there because it gets dicey, but it does, you know, beg the question. I always think like when we get there, Cora from Downton Abbey is Jewish. So, you know, maybe she has a story.
No, but
to
maybe
tell.
That's why engaging in like British history is enjoyable, because they never became Nazis.
That's so true.
So you can root for them.
They didn't become Nazis, but they experienced the war, the
they
world war.
They fought Nazis the whole time.
Right. They were good peeps.
Yeah. So you can always root for them. So I'm not worried about, you know, what Robert Grantham was doing. Like, he was fine.
Oh, that's true. I guess like Cora's not going to get taken out of her house by a Nazi because the ledger says she was Jewish.
Right. Because they never made it over.
They protected. Yeah.
And even in Downton Abbey, Robert Grantham actually does like mention Hitler once because of Edith's husband who went to Germany.
The Marquis.
No, Edith's husband.
Oh, Michael.
Michael went to Germany and disappeared. And they were talking about the brown shirts.
And Hitler.
And they were like, there are these guys, they wear brown shirts and they're mad.
Yeah, you're right. You're
so
right.
So that was like a little Easter egg.
So such a good point.
So what was I saying? So yes, so the Romanovs. And it's like every Tsar, some were terrible. And then, you know, one dies and the next one's like, what's it going to be for the Jews?
Right, you were saying, though, that the crown should do other generations and other countries.
Yes, other generations would love, other countries would love. Really, someone should do something extensive on the Romanovs because there's so much there.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
I feel like I've watched everything that I can. There's a really good documentary on Netflix, but it's not, like, scripted or anything. And I know there's that one show with Elle Fanning that I didn't like. Please don't tell me to watch it. The Grit.
Catherine the
it's
Great.
It's called The Grit.
Yeah.
And it's not good. Sorry.
I watched, actually, weirdly, the first episode.
Did you like it?
No, she goes and just gets, in the first episode,
shipped
like, married off,
yeah.
right?
To yeah. marry. But it's not good. They try to make like it, like, comedy. It's
funny.
Please don't tell me to watch it. I've tried.
Dead.
I've tried.
She
and
tried.
It should be something I would love.
Yeah.
So that's how bad it is.
Yeah.
Our fifth and final story is, like, a little bit of viral news. You know us. We love to talk about what everyone's talking about.
Yeah.
And there's a list of places going around that women refuse to go on a first date.
Okay, so this all started on TikTok. Let me explain because I know you don't know. This woman went viral for making a TikTok in her car about this first date she was going on, and the guy took her to the Cheesecake Factory, and she's like, are you fucking kidding me? She was very funny, but it sparked a debate about, like, would if someone took you to the Cheesecake Factory, would you be upset?
So here's a list of places women refuse to go on a first date. And let's discuss. And real as much as I love the Cheesecake Factory, and I would love to say, like, you know, if someone took me there on a first date, that would not be a deal breaker. If they took me there on a first date, like, in a serious way.
I think it's so hard for, like, to make a blanket statement on a place. Because, first of all, where
right.
do you live?
That's the big question.
In a lot of places, like, the Cheesecake Factory is the only, you know, nice sit-down restaurant for miles. So circumstances, socioeconomics, like, there are a lot of different factors.
Yeah. So are you answering the question, like, broadly or as you yourself?
So, okay, let's set the scene. I met this guy on an app. He barely knows me. Like, it's not someone who knows that I love the Cheesecake Factory, because, like, if Ben took me there, I'd be like, fuck yes.
He barely knows you. You live in New York City? Or you live in, like,
see,
a smaller city?
I don't know. If I live in the city, it makes no sense. There's 1,000 restaurants before I get to
a
Cheesecake Factory.
Cheesecake Factory is actually
logistically. Yeah, it's outside of the city. It's in Jersey City.
Okay, let's go through the list. One, Cheesecake Factory. Two.
I would be okay with it. They serve alcohol. It's a like, I really would, for real.
Two, Applebee's.
Okay, it's less nice. It's more of a neighborhood spot. There's a lot of, like, sports teams, you know, after school little leagues that go there. Maybe not.
Where did we go after Coachella? Was that Applebee's?
Applebee's.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, but we went at midnight.
That's true. It was like.
So it was like a lit after, like, it's like a drunk munchie
got
place.
Got it. Three, Chili's.
It's a little pedestrian.
For a first date. We're trying to, you know, woo.
Impress.
Wine and dine.
But again, like, it just depends on the person. Like, living in New York, you have elevated dining. So, of course, a chain like Chili's isn't considered fine dining. It's not considered fancy. But in different parts of the country, like, I just feel like this conversation isn't fair.
Yeah, it's like in Glee when they go to Breadsticks.
Exactly. Like, by the way, perfect example.
The next one I actually think is a hard no no matter what, and that's Chipotle.
It's a hard no no matter
what.
You
know, they do serve beer. and some wine, some alcohol, but like that is just not a romantic vibe. Even
no, and a lot of their seating is bar stool high tops with no backs.
Even like Olive Garden, which is the next one, like that could be more romantic.
Agreed. Olive Garden's okay.
Six, the movies. Agreed. No matter who you are, where you're from.
Yeah. First date, because you're supposed to get to know someone, not sit in silence for 3 hours.
Seven, your house. Agreed. First date.
Agreed. Agreed as in yes or no? No.
No, you don't go to someone's house on a first date.
In this climate?
That, and also like, take me out.
Yeah, yeah.
Not, I mean, eight, any fast food chain.
Yeah.
Nine, Buffalo Wild Wings.
I don't know. It's like a cute sports bar. It's a vibe. Like, I think it's okay too.
10, Wingstop. I've never been.
Very similar to Buffalo Wild Wings. Like sports bar, energy. I think it's fine.
11, Red Lobster.
Totally fine. It's elevated fine dining.
12, a buffet.
The Golden Corral.
I agree.
Yeah, no.
That's not the vibe.
No, it's not romantic.
And you really can't load up like you would want to.
It's so true. It's like a waste of money to pay for the buffet because you can't like, you know, throw dinner rolls in your purse.
13, IHOP.
Only because it's breakfast. Breakfast is not date. Date is like, you know, low. The lighting is lower.
Yeah, it's a little bright candlelit. In there. Do they serve alcohol even?
No.
Yeah, I think you have to have a liquor license.
I agree.
14, Denny's, same thing.
Yeah.
15, the gym. Duh.
Oh, I didn't even know that was up for debate.
16, no. Interesting. Church. Say it was temple.
I think if that's your lifestyle, that's actually incredibly sweet.
I agree. As long as we're going to get a bite to eat after.
No, and as long as we're on equal playing fields. Like if this person's really, you know, very religious and the person, you know, going out on the date is not, like, don't take me to your church if I don't, like, pray or if I don't ever go. But if these are two church-going peeps, that's lovely.
Yeah, but we do have to get a bite to eat after.
It's undebatable.
Because isn't it like going to the movies? Like,
yes, but it's a little bit different because you're connecting on a spiritual level. Yeah, you're not talking. You're getting to know each other. It's different than the movies, but it's similar.
17, Starbucks. Agreed.
No.
18, coffee dates. Agreed. Like, that's not a romantic date. And certainly not a first date.
Actually, I don't know. People do like coffee dates. It's like a quick way. Like, let's see if we even, like, connect on the smallest level, and then we'll take it out for real. It's like kind of a good.
But that's like what going for a drink is for. And I just feel like coffee, if you're really in a place where like you're just like grabbing coffee to see if you even like this person, like you must be going on so many dates. Like it should be a little special thing.
It should be special. It becomes a little kind of
coffee date is mechanic. Like you can't drink coffee past 5 o'clock. So like we're just meeting in the middle of the day. Like, can't we have something special?
Yeah, if we're meeting in the middle of the day for 30 minutes and, like, you know, it's our lunch break from work, it's not
like
special.
What, just so I could get a look at you to say yay or nay? I feel like that's, like, very serial dating.
Shallow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like speed dating almost.
And I don't think that's the way to be. Even though I do think you should go on a lot of dates if you're looking for a partner, but, like, not like that.
Yeah.
Ice cream dates.
Cute. But even though it feels like a second half of a date, you know.
It's like a...
But I don't know. Strolling around a small town with an ice cream cone sitting on a bench. Beyond that's cute, actually. And that's a good, like, low budget date.
And also...
And I don't mean low budget in a negative way. I mean, like, if you're going on a lot of dates, you don't need to spend $100 every dinner.
But that's because you added the stroll. If they were just sitting in the ice cream shop, eating their ice cream, and then going home, it's not enough.
No. But there are definitely ways to do dating on a budget. And I think, you know, walking around a park at twilight, getting ice cream, sitting, like, that's cute.
Walking...
Yeah.
With like a little food truck maybe.
Yeah. Or an ice cream truck.
Yeah, exactly. Next, family functions. Agreed.
No.
Agreed. Next, movie night, Netflix, Hulu. Agreed. No, because that also you have to be at their house. Somewhere that requires a long drive. Agreed.
No. Yeah.
Next, bowling.
I think bowling's okay. It's like a fun activity to get to know someone. They sell liquor there.
Yeah.
I think it's, I thought that was going to be on the list and I would disagree with it.
Can you bowl just two people?
Yeah.
It's not as fun. No. Next, nightclub, agreed. Agreed. Next, hookah bar, agreed. Next, a bar for just drinks, disagree.
Totally fine.
Next, Waffle House.
No.
Next sports events. It's kind of like a movie. But
yeah, it's better. I think it's okay.
It's okay. That's kind of nice if someone takes you to a sports event. They like care.
It's if both people are really into sports.
Yeah.
It's like common ground to connect on.
And it's like.
That was a good story.
Yeah, I thought it would spark some interesting combo.
That's our show. Nice long one today. And I feel so good about it. This was like one of our best shows. The Bell thing. I'm cracking up.
The Bell?
B-E-L-L-E.
Cracking up.
So that's our show. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you guys for listening to the Toast the Millennium Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give the thumbs up. We're also available as podcasts anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Bug Radio, iHeart, CastBox, all the places where we listen to podcasts. Find us the Toast, leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and wickedly talented we are. Have a great day.
Love ya. Bye.
Bye.